As more and more major brands are looking to shift ad dollars to podcast and digital audio channels, there's a heightened interest in understanding how impactful these channels are to the bottom line. In a recent case study, a national home furnishing retailer turned to two partners to help solve this challenge. SXM Media and Claritas collaborated to provide an innovative, integrated set of solutions to effectively launch podcast campaigns and accurately measure the impact those campaigns had across all key KPIs, including the incremental lift in website engagements and purchase conversions. For more information, visit claritas.com/case-studies. Growing your brand requires adapting to the changing media landscape. But as the nascent CTV marketplace and audiences evolve, it's not obvious how one finds success or even what success looks like. In this session from Advertising Week Europe 2023, you'll hear from pioneers in the CTV space as they share strategies to make this complex and fragmented streaming and digital space easy for you and your brands to navigate.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you very much for that slightly hesitant round of applause as we join the stage. Thank you for coming. My name is Chris. I'm from Vivo. And I feel like I'm on the thinnest, skinniest, most precarious stage that I've ever been on. I did intend to kind of roam around a bit. That's not going to be possible, unfortunately. So, I'm going to be sitting down for the duration. But this is a really exciting panel today. We've got a really balanced group of amazing speakers, but this is a Vivo session, so I'm going to take that opportunity very quickly just to talk for a little bit before bringing in the rest of the panelists. So just want to emphasize this is about thought leadership. This is not a sales pitch for Vivo for the most part. And I really just want to frame some of the discussion points that we're going to build out in a bit more detail on the panel. And then also just demonstrate how, as a modern day TV network, we think about audiences, how best to serve them the content that they love, whilst giving them that optionality around both access point and viewing format as well. And then, of course, working with brands to make sure that they're building a successful CTV strategy as they can by connecting them with those audiences in, let's be honest, what is an ever-evolving landscape. So, Vivo, the home of music television, that has already got into a sales pitch. As a record label-owned business, our remit is to grow the commercial and promotional value of music videos, which as a content set have been on quite the journey over the last 40 or so years. For anyone who's old enough to remember the 80s and 90s, which I hope is pretty much everyone in this room, otherwise I'm on the wrong stage, those videos were the driving force behind adoption of cable and satellite TV. Stations like MTV, of course. By the turn of the century, the music industry had been disrupted by the digital wave in as early and as profound a way as pretty much any other industry out there, like both before or since. So it was a massive, massive deal. And fast forward to today, music videos still have that ability to captivate and inspire and provide that escapism that they've always been able to provide. But today they're streamed, they're not broadcast. So you can start to draw one or two parallels with the kind of disruption that we're seeing in the TV space today. Now, before people get a bit hot under the collar about that and jump down my throat, like, I'm not standing here saying that in the future there is no place for broadcast TV. Of course there is. But the game is changing at a really, really rapid pace. And one of the first areas I want to talk about, which is where a lot of the existing battlegrounds, but also alliances are being formed, is distribution. And the explosion of viewer choice is something we're really trying to embrace with our distribution strategy. You can see up here, it's ubiquitous, it's agnostic. It's about capturing as many eyeballs as we possibly can by being present on pretty much every major CTV living room platform. So we know the capabilities of CTV, smart TVs, whatever device you're using, the viewer is in control. They are at the center of the viewing experience. They have the ability to watch not just what they want, but when they want, and crucially, how they want it as well. So that could be search and discover functionality through a VOD app. That can be the more curated and absorbent experience of a fast channel. It can be a hybrid of the two. What we're trying to do is take our lead from the viewer, right? We custom fit the programming depending on access point, depending on format, depending on territory. We just create an amazing environment for them that keeps them coming back again and again and again. So it's a kind of dual speed approach of growing audiences organically through amazing and tailored programming, and then we're growing them incrementally through strategic partnerships as well. And you can see on the screen here, diverse programming drives a diverse audience. It's hard to think of a set of content creators that are inherently as diverse as music artists. If you think about the heritage of Vevo, we are representative of those artists and have been since their inception as a business. And it's really important for us as marketers to develop inclusive marketing products that are reflective of the audiences that those artists represent. Sorry, and just a couple of ways in which you're doing that. Out Loud is a product that allows brands to surround and support LGBTQ plus artists and allies, and equally AfroPulse is a product that allows brands to surround and support Black artists and the often underrepresented audiences that are consuming that content. So, as I said, diversity and inclusion, very much part of our heritage as a business, really, really important from a marketing standpoint as well. And just to build out the audience piece just a little bit further, I guess it's probably one of, if not the major draw still of connected TV, is the ability to capture incremental audiences. And I would say so long as the CTV provider in question has access to newer content that can entice younger audiences, it's absolutely where a massive, massive opportunity lies. As represented on screen here, this is Vevo audience profile versus traditional TV networks. Still not sales pitch, by the way. This is thought leadership. But it's impossible to argue that, you know, these are complementary audiences. They're contrasting. The CTV partner in this situation is absolutely adding value to existing AV plans. And then the final piece I just want to touch on is content. It is front and center of really most meaningful AV strategies. It is anchoring everything we do as a business. You know, we're very fortunate enough to have an all-premium supply of both new and nostalgic made-for-TV content that just happens to have the production values of a Stranger Things, Game of Thrones, Succession, you name it. So it's really exciting for us. You know, the conversations with Barb that we've been involved with from the very outset around the concept of fit for TV, exciting for us because it's validation of everything that we've been evangelizing about in market for the last few years. And I'm not going to tread too heavily on Justin Tozzi because he's definitely going to talk about it in a sec, because I know, because I'm going to ask him. The mechanism by which the content gets up onto the TV screen is largely unimportant. It's certainly unimportant to the viewer. As long as that content upholds the standards and quality that's expected of TV, then it's TV and should be considered and ultimately measured as such. And I'm going to leave it there and play a quick video with no sound. That felt quite quiet from up on stage. That felt like when you go to a presentation and it's playing at the laptop instead of the speakers in the room, which is very frustrating and something I'm sure most of you have experienced at one time or another. Right, I've talked for long enough. I really appreciate you guys indulging me for that and sitting on this very thin stage and watching me present. If I could just dive right in, if I could, you know, introduce yourselves, who you are, what you do, and in no more than a couple of sentences, what for you is the most exciting thing about the CTV marketplace currently? Chris, I'm going to come to you first.
Yeah, I don't mind starting. Obviously, it's great to have two Chris's on this half of the stage, so I'll go first. Hi, everyone. Good morning. My name is Chris Gregory. I am strategic content partner lead for Samsung TV Plus. I look after around 40 to 50 pan-Euro fast partners for the service. I think, to be honest, the most exciting thing in CTV for Samsung is the content offer for the viewer. I think we've seen a demise in setup boxes, bringing connected TV or CTV or smart TV, however you want to the very fore. And I think what's really great is that Samsung, you know, we've got incredible scale and a great content offering. And I think Chris alluded to it that obviously the viewer from a smart TV perspective can very much find content of a touch of a button, and that's the key thing. I think we have huge consumer and consumption from a Samsung perspective on our CTVs, and this is no more emphasized compared to the fact that we had 5.8 billion app launches in the second half of last year. But we also appreciate there's challenges around with that avalanche of content is the discoverability factor. So we have solutions in place of our Universal Guide product, but also in the home screen of our new UI, where there's full screen in terms of content discovery. So yeah, really exciting time for the market and good to be here. So thank you for having us.
Nicola.
So I'm Nicola Teague. I head up the AV team at the Seven Stars. The Seven Stars is the biggest UK media, independent media agency. And for me, yeah, echoing Chris, I think the most exciting thing about CTV is the content. And I was looking through on the Guardian website, looking at all the BAFTA nominations, and it was so great to see a variety of different content providers and creators on that list, and seeing like a Roku show, and seeing your Amazons, your BBCs, your ITVs, your Netflixes, and like that wealth of content that's out there is exciting from a consumer point of view, but also from an agency point of view, because there's so many amazing bits of content out there for clients to position their brands around. And with that comes a little bit of healthy competition. So that content hopefully will only get better, and we'll continue to see that kind of wealth of content out there, which can only be something that is great for kind of everyone involved, as long as we kind of nail the how we access that content and various other factors that I'm sure we will get onto throughout this chat.
Thanks, Chris. I'm Justin Sampson, Chief Executive of Barb, which for over 40 years now has been the industry's standard measurement for what people watch. On one hand, I'm going to violently agree with everybody about the importance of content, but I'm then going to be a little bit heretical and say that actually the way content is distributed is not the really important thing. And one of my favourite analogies of the last year or so was when ITV launched ITVX. Kevin Ligo, head of content at ITV, talked about two types of programming, and he talked about bonfires and fireworks, and this basically captured there are different user needs and different content works for those user needs. And he was talking about the bonfires being regular ongoing dramas which still attract millions of viewers 3-4 times a week, like Coronation Street and Emmerdale. Fireworks, we can all there's been a couple of big fireworks recently, Eurovision, new Stranger Things series. These things get a lot of headlines, but in terms of volume of viewing, there is still a huge amount of viewing to what you might call bonfire programming. So Not to decry CTV, the ability to get what you want at a touch of a button, I think is fabulous. But let's remember that people turn on the telly to watch programmes, not ads. And it's the way that they're doing that that I think is really interesting. And lots of it's new and exciting, but lots of it is people being what people have always been.
Great, love that analogy of fireworks and bonfires. right, Justin, I'm going to come to you first again, sorry, because frankly that's how I teed up the end of my presentation. So
cool.
It would have been easier if you were sitting here, but you know, kind of everything.
We can't swap either, can we?
Fit for TV, what is it?
So Barb has been on a strategic path for the last few years to ensure that our audience measurement, the point you made really well in your opening section, Chris, is audience-centric. We measure services regardless of platform, regardless of device, regardless of the business model of the service that's providing the viewing. And in late 2021, we took a huge step forward with the launch of reach and time spent viewing for all the streaming services, all the walled garden platforms, Netflix, Disney, YouTube. We also launched content ratings for the SVOD services, and our SVOD content ratings have now become part of the cultural currency. So thanks to Barb, the UK knows that Daniel Craig in Glass Onion was the most watched SVOD show last year. And you also know how many people watched Meghan and Harry, a six-part documentary about a couple trying to protect their privacy. So our data has become part of the fabric. Now, the bit that's missing for us is content on YouTube and other video sharing platforms. Now, the reality is 500 hours of programming launched up every minute on YouTube. It's impractical to measure everything. So we did an industry consultation to ask what are the priorities. And the first priority is measure any content that's brand safe. But there's also an industry consensus that there's a definition of a higher level of quality, which is what we're calling fit for TV, which is not just brand safe, but there's clear evidence of an editorial process and oversight. The content would fit with regulatory environments, and that's a definition that allows us to present content audiences in a way that's consistent across video sharing platforms, linear channels, and streaming services. So that fit for TV is designed to be a consistent, higher sort of quality benchmark than just brand safe content, mm-hmm. which we also intend to measure.
Yeah. And from a reaction standpoint, how has that been? Has there been a distinction between how the broadcasters and how the platforms are viewing it?
So from the broadcaster's perspective, we already report quite a bit of broadcaster viewing through YouTube. So 15 channels live stream on YouTube. We've got their audience data in our numbers. BT Sport at an event level uses YouTube as part of its windowing strategy, particularly around a Champions League final when there's a British team involved. Channel 4 has 1,000 hours of archive content. We're reporting that. With regard to the streamers, we're pleased to be talking to Vevo about how we can potentially have Vevo as a network channel, whatever we call it, reported by Barb. We're not there yet, but we're having some great conversations. We'd love to work with the platforms themselves to actually sort of deliver much more comprehensive viewing of content that advertisers are interested in because it's brand safe, but also that content that's that higher fit for TV quality threshold, so that there's consistent measures of quality across all the different parts of the video market.
Great. So a huge amount of collaboration needed to get to this point for fit for TV. Chris, coming to you. I mentioned in my opening gambit that a lot of the battlegrounds and also alliances are being formed around distribution. Can you share a little bit about how Samsung view the relationship with different content distributors or any other partnerships that you guys are working on?
Yeah, I suppose content partnerships make the world go round, right? So again, we have a really strong relationship with yourselves at Vevo. I suppose we've really taken a kind of a local approach to content partnerships, and I think that's what's really sort of resonates with the local audience and the local viewer. We've kind of taken a step back from maybe 2 or 3 years ago and gone, hey, how can we actually drive viewership and performance of Samsung TV Plus in a fast environment, free ad served TV service for those that, you know, I can't quite remember the bubble of the acronym. We've kind of sat back and gone, right, what would you watch as a local viewer? And I think we've launched really strong local recognizable brands in market. We have RTV in Spain, we have L'Équipe in France, but then we also find a good blend of international partners like the CNNs that, you know, can travel around the globe and in Europe and pan-Euro opportunities there. But also with the likes of Vevo, who can deliver a single channel like a Vevo Pop to multiple countries, but then actually curate to that market specifically, which is really key. And then I think sort of going forward, which has very much been the cherry on top of FAST recently, which hopefully everyone's seen the reports, is obviously the idea of exclusivity. So again, you'll get on the UK service and you'll see the Jamie Oliver channel, you'll see America's Got Talent. And also we've just recently launched, well, about 6 months ago, the DAZN FAST Plus channel. So for viewers in Germany and Austria, you can watch live premium sports content completely free. And I suppose what also in terms of the, going back to your original question, another key point is enticing that we get partners adding hours to their content and to their channels, making sure channels aren't going stagnant, the refresh is there, and also that makes it much more marketable for both the channel, the partnership and the service as well.
Do you think the opportunity varies quite a lot between markets from a FAST perspective?
I think so, yeah. So just in terms of a brief intro, again, thanks for the nudge. I think the Samsung TV Plus service is live in 16 countries in Europe, 24 globally. In Europe, we have over 1,000 channels, and we work with over 200 partners, but we're at different levels. UK, Germany, very much kind of like the peak countries for European FAST. And then we've got sort of, you know, emerging markets like the Nordics and the Netherlands, but very active from a content perspective and also from an advertising perspective as well.
Great. Nicola, sorry, we've kind of left you quiet on the stage there for a little bit. Coming to you, you are here as the buy side representative. You work at the leading independent agency in the UK. I guess you guys think a bit differently than the holding groups around audience and channel planning. Are you able to share a little bit more information around how you guys are approaching audiences on connected TV?
Yeah, so this probably isn't different to the holding groups, but obviously when you're buy side and your agency side, your kind of remit really is to deliver what's best for the client, and to 9 times out of 10 that's growth, right? Whether it's short-term growth, long-term growth. Our side is very much about how do we deliver that for clients. And what's really exciting about CTV is that it gives us that kind of broadcast high quality content, but it allows us to access it in a digital buy. So it opens up the way we can target different audiences. It means we can target audiences that potentially have switched off from linear TV, but it also means that we can tap into audiences watching quite niche environments, or it might be a time of day, or it might even be at a postcode level with you know, dynamically served creative, which is all really exciting. It's obviously, with that, there's an element of scale, and we know that it's growing, and that's kind of why we talk about the content so much, because the content, if the content's good, then people will watch it, and if people are watching it, then agencies will buy it. I guess what's maybe slightly unique about the Seven Stars is that we trade a little bit differently to the networks, in the sense we don't have those kind of slightly more rigid kind of share deals. So for us, it's very much around like looking at all the Barb data and working out, okay, where are people actually viewing this content, and what content are they viewing, and then how do we get our hands on it? So I think for us, it's all about growing our clients' businesses. It's all about finding the eyeballs in the right places. Mm. And if they are heading in the direction of CTV, then great.
Is there one specific role for CTV over anything else, that one priority, or does it vary a lot by client?
It massively varies, I think, which is another kind of good thing about CTV, but it doesn't take away any of the complexity of why you would use it. But what I would say is, obviously, we plough through Barb data, Thinkbox data, and we look at where people are watching, and what we see is that people aren't watching CTV instead of other video. People are watching more video than ever before. So it's not a case of taking money out of the broadcasters and putting it into CTV, or out of another pot and putting it into CTV. I think it's a conversation of going, how do you split a marketing budget? And if you're following eyeballs, then you should be spending more in video, because people are consuming more video. I've forgotten what your question was. I think I've gone off on a tangent there.
Tangents are great. That's fine. It's all natural. That's fine.
But yeah, what was your question?
I mean, we can move on. It's fine.
Yeah, let's move on.
Okay. Well, I mean, I want to talk about FAST specifically. We've touched on it already, Chris. Yep. You know, from a Vivo point of view, like, we know the US market, FAST has absolutely exploded across the pond. It is front and center of the US go-to-market positioning, as Vivo being the leading FAST network in the world. The opportunity seems to be massive. Justin, is it a part of the future from a measurement perspective?
It's certainly on the roadmap. We are already sort of looking at measuring FAST channels that exist. I don't think it's taken off in the UK quite the same way as it's taken off in the US.
Yep.
But the techniques that we have at our disposal for measuring audiences are kind of pretty much agnostic to how channels are put together. Are they linear? Are they on demand? Are they FAST? The issue for us is, do we have measurement techniques that correctly identify what people are watching, And what type of people and how many people in front of the screen and all that. And in that sense, fast is not enormously different to the idea of measuring a Netflix or a Disney Plus or indeed an ITV or a Channel 4.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah. And Nicola, are you making that distinction from a buy-side perspective between on-demand and stream linear content?
Increasingly less so, actually. I think Justin touched on it. I mean, people are just watching the content that they want to watch, and we might kind of access it differently and call it different things, but ultimately people, we're just trying to maximise reach or hit that kind of optimised frequency. So I think from our point of view, it's very much let's stop thinking about these various parts of a media plan as different lines and start thinking of it as one holistic approach to video.
Great. Okay. I'm going to change track slightly. I'm not someone that likes to focus on the negatives, but we talked a lot about the opportunities. We've got three people from very different disciplines on the panel here. It'd be great just to hear, but what are some of the challenges that you guys are finding? Chris, I'm going to come to you.
Yep.
What are the challenges you're finding in the CTV space at the moment?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think from my life in FAST, I think the challenge has been like a historic one. I think where we are now with FAST, we weren't there maybe 2-3 years ago. So I think there's that kind of element of that content that's always been a challenge despite where we are now with FAST. The content is no longer just what we're now calling like Sleeping Beauty's content or archive just delivered in loops. But again, I think from a partnership point of view, and I think that's really my day-to-day, I think another challenge has been, as we've already alluded to, from the US market in FAST, is managing expectations. When partners are either in the US and come over to Europe, or they're looking at various reports like from Omdia, where we're talking about 11 billion or 12 billion by 2027, and then just that's a real challenge as well. But again, with the content improving as such, you know, I think we've made great strides. But, you know, it's not the finished article. Mm.
Sleeping Beauty's gone to love that as well.
You can take that
one. Yeah, I'm definitely going to use that. Nicola?
It's a bit of a vanilla answer, really, but I think...
It's quite a vanilla question, to be fair. It's pretty broad.
I think it's got to be measurement. And I mentioned it earlier, but obviously we're all about growing clients' businesses, so it's understanding how CTV does that. And the scale is limited, and it's early days. But how do we prove CTV as a whole is doing that? There is a lot of fragmentation. The scale's not quite big enough to be looking at, particularly like the long tail of CTV, through an econometrics lens. It's not going to pick it up. So how else do we measure that? How else do we get it in front of clients and say, this isn't a test, this is part of your long-term video strategy? And I think there's a lot of the long tail CTV providers are working together on the measurement piece, but maybe some of the bigger parts of the puzzle are working at slightly more siloed. And I'm hoping Justin will be able to help from a measurement point of view of tying it together from a reach and frequency angle. But it's the what's it kind of delivering for clients' businesses that is the conundrum moment.
No pressure, Justin.
1 minute, 49 seconds on the challenges for measurement. I think one big picture point is that Barb launched 40 years ago in an era of data scarcity. We now live in an era of data abundance. There's so much data out there. Which data do you trust? Our job as Barb is to try and bring together different data into an overall solution that provides the answers to Nicola and to Chris and the rest of the industry. There is a lot we can do independently, as we've demonstrated by delivering measurement of Netflix and the like without their involvement. They're now on board and we're working with them to take that further. We can always go further with the active involvement of platforms. How about that?
That was 40 seconds. That's incredible. Do you know, we've got 1 minute left, so I'm going to ask one more question. We've got, maybe 20 seconds each. What would you like to see in terms of developments in the space over the next 12 months, Justin?
It would be great to be sat here next year with you as a subscribing channel and part of our daily audience reporting.
That's a fantastic answer. This guy.
That was a sales pitch, wasn't it?
Nicola?
Yeah, raw measurement, continued collaboration, and from an agency point of view, keep kind of asking those questions, keep scrutinising the results, and making sure that everything that we do is delivering what's needed.
And finally, more content owners embracing life in the fast lane.
Brilliant, love that. Very succinct. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining our session. Thank you for coming down. Please help me thank the panel.
Thanks for listening. For more talks from the global stages of Advertising Week, be sure to subscribe to Uncommon Thinking on your podcast platform of choice. Share it with friends and colleagues, and leave us feedback. A few years ago, the ad revenue forecasts for podcast advertising were estimated to pass the $1 billion mark in 2023. But that actually happened in 2021. As both startup and mainstream brands flood dollars into podcast and digital audio advertising, many companies still struggle with how to accurately measure the impact these channels have on driving ROI. Claritas has emerged as a leader in helping brands, publishers, and agencies accurately measure attribution and the incremental lift podcasts and digital audio channels have on helping marketers drive success. Listen to their latest podcast to hear more about the current and future direction of these high-impact, yet still somewhat emerging channels. For more information, visit claritas.com/claritas-podcast.